been handed down. It describes something about this baby. He will save his people from their sins. And we call him the Christ. Is it just another name given to him? Or is it something that describes who he is? The Christ is, again, the New Testament form of Messiah from the Old Testament, which simply means the promised one. This is the one that God has promised, the Messiah, the Christ. So this baby born in Bethlehem is God's promised one. You know, the one you've been waiting for all these years, all these generations. You have waited for these promises of God to be fulfilled. Well, here in this baby, they're fulfilled. Something about Jesus is in this name, Jesus the Christ. And then there's this name of Emmanuel, of which we have just sung, which simply means God with us. When we look at this baby, we're reminded that God is not far from us. He's not distant. He's not remote. He's not removed. He's not cut off from us. But he is with us. So we learn a lot about who this Jesus is as we listen to his names. And over these past couple of weeks, we've been looking at those names from Isaiah chapter 9. When Isaiah simply says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Names again given to Jesus because they tell us something about who Jesus is and what he will do. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. There are times in life when what we need is someone who is a wonderful counselor, someone who is a mighty God. We need someone who is wiser than us, because our own wisdom falls short. We need someone who is mightier than we are, because there are things that we just cannot do. We get to the end of our tether, we get to the end of our abilities, and we realize that we can take it no further, and we look for someone who is wiser, who is mightier than us. There are times in life when we need this wonderful counselor, this mighty God. The little passage from Ephesians, which Hope read for us, we're reminded that this is the God who can do not just a little bit, or not just something that we can understand. The passage in Ephesians simply says, this is the God who can do immeasurably more than you can either ask or even imagine. This is the might of our God. And there are times when that is the God that we need. The wise and mighty God. But there are times too. Times too when we feel crushed, broken, put down. And it's not wisdom we need. It's not even the might of our God that we need. It is the love of our Heavenly Father. And so when this title is given, this title of Everlasting Father, we're reminded that this God is not a wise counselor who stays far off and drops wisdom on us. This God is not some mighty God who is remote and simply speaks and things are done far off. This is the God who comes to us in Jesus Christ, the Everlasting Father. And it's another aspect of God's love. There's a lovely passage in Isaiah 40 which speaks about God tending us as a shepherd tends his sheep. It talks about him carrying his lambs. Not sort of shushing them along or trying to get them along, but actually picking these lambs up and carrying them. It's a picture of something that's weak and frail and small being picked up and carried. And Isaiah actually says he doesn't just pick them up, he carries them close to his heart. I think all of us go through times when that's what we need. To know that we're carried close to the heart of God. Whatever it is that we go through, we need to know that we're carried close to this Father heart of God. But the wonderful thing is too, we don't have to choose between, shall I have a God who is wise, a God who is mighty, or a God who loves me like an everlasting Father? Which God will I choose? We don't have to choose. This is your God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We do not have to choose. God comes to us not with one of these aspects of his life, but in his complete being. He comes to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is all of these and so much more. Everlasting Father. Again, that little passage in Ephesians simply reminds us that this is our Heavenly Father, from whom all families get their name. This is where the idea of fatherhood comes from. Sometimes we get it the other way around. Sometimes we think that God is like us as a father. And if that's the case, boy, we are in trouble. No, God is saying, I am your Heavenly Father. I love you with a love that will never let you go. Carry you close to my heart. Given you this baby in Bethlehem so that you will know that not only has love come down at Christmas, but your love, O God, endures forever. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We're familiar with God the Father, Jesus as Son. But how in this passage does Isaiah say that Jesus is the Everlasting Father? It's a strange thing. Well, in Hebrew thinking, apparently, Father was the originator, the source of anything. So to take a completely opposite example, Satan in the Scriptures is called the father of lies. Not that he tells absolutely every lie that is told, but he's the source, he's the origin of all these lies. So when Isaiah says that Jesus is the Everlasting Father, the Eternal Father, Isaiah is pointing to the fact that Jesus is the source and origin of this eternal life. Jesus is the source of eternal life. He's the one who said, before Abraham was, I am. This Jesus who has always been from eternity. This Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, moved out of eternity and born into this time and this place. And this Jesus who will live throughout eternity ahead of us. That's why Isaiah can promise that the kingdom that he establishes is an eternal kingdom. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It won't run out. It won't gradually fade out like a battery that's had its time. This kingdom will be eternal, because Jesus establishes it. Jesus, who is the Father, the source of eternity. John, in his gospel, simply reminds us that whoever believes in the Son, whoever believes in Jesus, has eternal life, because Jesus is the one who is the Father, the source, the origin of eternal life. The one who came from eternity to be born in the stable. The one who died on the cross and rose again, so that by believing and trusting in him, we can know the unfailing love of our Heavenly Father. our everlasting Father. So this morning you don't have to choose what sort of God you give yourself to. Will I give myself to a God who is love, or a God who is might, or a God who is wise? There is but one God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, who waits for his children to come, waits with open arms so that he can carry them close to his heart. This all-wise, all-powerful God, who loves you with a love that will never let you go, who gave his only Son not just to be born in a stable in Bethlehem, but to die on a cross and to rise again, so that you might know the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, and life eternal. This is the God who reaches out to you. This is the God who gives to you and his Son, Jesus. Don't miss out on his gift. Don't neglect his gift. Don't assume there will be another opportunity to receive his gift. Simply receive. And know the love of the everlasting Father. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we use the term all the time, our Father, Heavenly Father. And yet, Lord, so often we fail to understand even part of what it means for us to be known as your children, to be loved by the everlasting Father. And so, Lord, in your tenderness, we pray, enfold us in your love, that all that we do over these coming days in this exciting season and time of the year, Lord, may be done in the confidence of a love that endures forever. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Amen.